All right, we are in Psalm 146 this evening, Psalm 146, and this is an interesting psalm, particularly with verse 5. I think that's the hinge point of this psalm. But in all of our study of the collection that we have, the 150 psalms, there are 25 beatitudes. Now, a beatitude is like what we read about in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, right? And so there are 25 of those in all of the Psalms. And the last one is in verse 5 of our text, Psalm 146, this evening. By the way, if you want all 25 of those, I posted them up on the internet. Just let me know and I'll tell you how to get to where they are. But these 25 are interesting, and I was looking over all of them today, and it dawned on me that a lot of it has to do with trust, or a synonym for the word trust. Trusting in the Lord, that brings this blessed state about. And this particular psalm, there's no exception here. It demonstrates that there's great satisfaction or happiness, that's a good word, that comes into the life of anyone who trusts in the Lord for help, and also for hope. For help and also for hope. And if you read the psalm, you come to realize that this is a confidence that we should all want, right? We should have the same confidence that the psalmist has, and we should come out praising the Lord as he does, because we find him to be the answer to a happy life. And so that answer, though, goes through the path of meditation upon his word, knowing who he is and what he has done. And so once we think deeply about the character of God and the actions of God on our behalf, then all of a sudden we see how happiness, help, and hope work themselves out in our lives. And so Psalm 146 then carves out the path to help, hope, and happiness. So let's look at the psalm together. Psalm 146 in our Bibles here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Psalm 146. So, the key then you can see is verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So let's think about those key words. Happy, help, and hope in the verse. Now, if we were assured the Lord's help each day, his hope each day, if we're assured of that, then we can go through our lives confident. We can be in a state of happiness and joy that maybe we haven't known for quite some time. So let's think about the fact that what is it that's in front of us, maybe in our week that's coming up? God has the power to subdue all things in order for our eternal benefit to be worked out in our lives. And so we have to believe that if we seek help from him, we're going to never be disappointed in him. And we have to also believe that if we get help from him, then nobody can overwhelm us. No circumstances out there can foil what we're doing for him. So it is in that way, then, we find in the Lord our help and our hope. So let's look at this first idea. God is my help. Now, the text states, happy, all right, is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Now, the first question that I had to ask when I was thinking about this verse is, why does the Lord use this title for Israel, Jacob? I mean, I believe he's referring to Israel, and most commentators would agree as well. And there are many times in the Old Testament when the Lord refers to Israel as Jacob. But we know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel, right? So before he was Israel, he was known as Jacob, and he lived up to his name. His name means he is a supplanter. He is someone who deceives by trickery, and we see that over and over again early in his life. So I'm thinking to myself, well, why does God use this particular name? Well, maybe he's reminding me about how he changed the life of Jacob. He transformed Jacob's life, and he can do the same for me. And so we see Israel's history and how he takes this supplanter, this trickster like Jacob, and transforms him into Israel. The name Israel, of course, means God strives. All right, so God strives. Well, God is striving with Jacob, and he wins. All right, he wins. And when God strives with us, his children, he'll win. And he's so merciful and kind to us that even when we're unfaithful, he remains faithful, and he continues to pursue us. And that's what I think we see in the title here. So we often don't have help from God. And the reason why we don't have help from God is because we have confidence in ourselves. This is the bane of the American's existence, right? It's so easy to be confident in ourselves. But Peter is a good example of that self-confidence as well, scripturally, right? I mean, if anyone's going to go against you, Lord, and betray you, it's not going to be me. I am going to be right there. If I have to die for you, I'm going to do that. Right? That's self-confidence. He didn't know what he was talking about, and the Lord told him so. He said that very night he would end up betraying the Lord three times, and sure enough, that's what he did. And so we have to be careful of the fact that when we're helping ourselves, if we're just out there living life just by the coattails, so to speak, we just do what we think ought to be done. We, as Stephen was saying in his testimony, we're not talking to the Lord first about these things, okay? Then we're just kind of spinning our wheels. This is self-dependence, and this is something that God can't bless. And if you're self-dependent, you're not a happy person. You're trying to hold your life together, and only the Lord can do that. You can't do that for yourself. So, contrary to popular belief, God will not help those who help themselves. Secondly, we often don't have help from God because our confidence is in creation in some way, right? When you say creation, what are you talking about? I'm talking about maybe our circumstances, or I'm talking about maybe the people that are in our lives. Some people think, I have good connections with powerful people, and they think that because of that, they're going to be okay. Nothing bad is going to happen to them. But no one on earth can be put in a situation like that. In other words, you can't put people in the place of God and expect them to deliver, right? Because they're not always going to deliver. There are some people that are willing to help you out from time to time, right? There may be even a few people in your life that are willing to help you out all the time, anytime you ask them. But what about their ability? See, that's the problem. There are people that are willing, but they're not able. But then you can turn that around, too. There are people that are able to help you, but they're not willing, right? So we have all kinds of people in our lives that are in those categories, people that we count on, and yet we shouldn't be counting on them. Sometimes people that we love so much, that have been such a blessing to us, move away from us. It's difficult, isn't it? But sometimes it's not even just a geographical move. Sometimes they go home to be with the Lord. And there's no stopping that. And the psalmist mentions that here. That's why he tells us in verses 3 and 4 that the spirit of a man, when it departs, his plans perish that very day. He might have had all kinds of plans to help you. But now, what can be done? All of those plans are gone because he is now with the Lord. However, the good news is we can have the same happy state that the psalmist has if we put our trust in the Lord collectively as a church and even personally, individually, as we pray to him each day. And what do we have when we put our trust in the Lord? We have the omnipotence of God backing up every single promise that he's made. We have the fact that he's always there. He's omnipresent. We have the fact that he's always willing to move mountains on the behalf of his children. That this is the immutable God. He does not change. And so we can trust in him. We pray, hallowed be your name. What do we mean when we pray that? We mean, let your name be declared holy by the way that I live my life, by the things that I say and the things that I do, let your name be declared holy. Well, when we do that, we're fearing God the way that he ought to be feared. And we're not fearing people the way that they ought not to be feared. The fear of man is a snare, but when we fear God, when we realize that God is there, present in our lives, all of a sudden we have a sanctuary, we have a home, we have a hope, we have what we need. We have it from God. And so, he is a sanctuary to us. The Bible also uses another metaphor. He is a wall of fire. He's a wall of fire that encircles us. It surrounds us to protect us. And his glory dwells within us even. I'm reminded of the Old Testament story of Elisha and how his servant could not see the spiritual battle that was going on around him. So he prayed and asked that the Lord would open up his servant's eyes so that he could see. And all of a sudden the servant saw that God indeed is someone to be trusted. That God brought help to that particular situation because those who were with them far outnumbered those who were with the enemies of God. And so he saw the writing on the wall. And so Romans 8 verse 31 is true for us, isn't it? If our God is for us, who can be against us? If I could pull back the veil, the veil, and you could look into the spiritual realm, you would see that there are many that are there for us and few that are there with the enemy. God will provide the help that we need. That's why we teach the kids in the school Isaiah 54 and verse 17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, but every tongue that rises up against you in judgment he shall condemn. And we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us so, Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. So we can say, God is my help. He is my help. And then second, God is my hope. Here's a good rule of thumb for us as we live out our lives this week. Don't expect anything from people, but expect everything from God. That's a great way to live. Because people are always going to let you down, even though they don't mean to. They're going to let you down, but God will never let you down. And so we expect everything from God, but we expect very little or nothing really from the people around us. And when we expect it all from God, then we're expecting something that's coming from God who has no limits. He is infinite. And so as I think about my life and the situations that I'm faced with this week, I trust in the Lord who is able to give me everything that I need to go through it. In other words, I love Psalm 81 verse 10 because, open up your mouth wide and the Lord will fill it. You say, how wide is too wide? You can't open it up wide enough. The wider you open it, figuratively speaking, right? The wider you open it, the more he fills it. He has everything that you need, and he's willing to give it to you. You just have to be willing to receive it. That's the idea. And so we go to the promises of God's word, and to continue the metaphor, we feed on them. We feed on the words of God. And as we do, We take everything that he gives to us. I take everything that Jesus has given to me on the behalf of his death and resurrection for me, and I make it my own. I think big. You ought to think big. You pray big. And then the Bible tells us that God is able to do it. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to his riches in glory, according to the power that works in us, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. So happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So if you're happy tonight, it's because you're finding help and hope in the Lord. So think about all of these perfections then that we've been talking about. We've mentioned many of them. God is going to work on the behalf of his children, and his character makes it certain that he will do what he said. So there's nothing that compares to the happiness of those that are growing in their understanding of who God is. In other words, as I grow in my understanding, my knowledge, the knowledge of God, I see him working in my life. It's not that I'm just hearing about this or I'm reading about it in the Bible, but I actually see him working these promises out through my life personally. When I have experiences like that, that's when my security goes way up. That's when the maturity goes way up. That's when I understand that God is working out things that are going to be eternally beneficial for me. And that's true happiness. That's the idea here. And God is glorified in a variety of different ways, right? He's glorified in a variety of different ways in a variety of circumstances throughout temporal life. That's why it says in verses 7 through 10 what it says. The Lord executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoner. No other person can give those things. The Lord gives those things. And we can't mess that up. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He raises those who are bowed down. He loves the righteous. He watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. The Lord shall reign forever. And when you get to the end of that, then you can say in all genuine honesty, praise the Lord for what he has done and for what he will do. So I want to study the person and the work of God and then take what he offers me. That's what you should want as you go through your week. Study the person and the work of God and offer and take what he offers. And you'll conclude, even as David did in another psalm, he is my God. I see him working this stuff out personally in my life. I don't lean on to my own understanding, but I acknowledge him in all my ways. I put my trust in him. And so I look to God to guide me in the big decisions. Seems so big that nothing can be done. But I bring that heavy burden, that massive burden to the Lord, and I leave it there, and I know that he can take care of it. But then think about all the things that are so small. You know, like just wanting to say goodbye to someone for the last time. Right? God cares about that as well. God cares about big and small in my life. He cares about everything that concerns me. And so I need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If he does for me what he did for Jacob, I'm certain that I'm going to have a blessed and happy life. And so notice Isaiah 41 and verse 10 here on the screen. Fear not, that verse says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. Personal. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we need to make the Lord God our help and our hope the rest of this week and all through our lives, really. There is nothing that you ought to fear in this world. If God has something for you to do, he will enable you to do it. He'll give you the courage and the strength to do it. You might not feel like you have that strength right now. You might think that it's too big for God to handle, but it's not. There are many times when I didn't know where the strength was going to come from, and yet I take one step forward and then another step forward, and I find the strength. God grants it. God gives it. He always gives it. There's nothing that he will not do for us. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalm 146, verse 5. If you're happy tonight, it's because you found help and hope from the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this verse and for the encouragement that it brings to us this evening. Help us, Lord, to know that while people may disappoint, circumstances may be swirling around us in a very chaotic way, we can still go to you for the help and the hope that we need. We believe, Lord, what you have revealed to us tonight. Help us to live that out when we get up tomorrow morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pray together.